Series. It's taken from Colossians 1, 28 and 29. Colossians 1, 28 and 29 says, "We proclaim him, warning every man," or admonishing every man. Three times the Lord Jesus said, "Beware." Beware the leaven, Luke 12, 1, of the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Sadducees. And beware the leaven of Herod. In the Greek, the word beware is very beautiful. It means literally to look away from or to refuse to see, to escape by looking away from. There were some corrupting influences in the New Testament days, and it was illustrated by the word leaven, that which corrupts. And Jesus was concerned that his disciples were on the lookout for this leaven, and then that they would escape from it. The leaven of the Pharisees we've identified, Luke 12, 1 identifies it. It says, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." In any area of my life in which I'm a hypocrite, then there's leaven in my life. And then, "Beware the leaven of the Sadducees, which is rationalism or unbelief." Jesus was concerned that we beware of unbelief. This morning, we begin in Mark 8, 15. This will be the final lesson of this particular series. Mark 8, 15, Jesus said, "Beware the leaven of Herod." Once again, we must look for that chief corrosive characteristic that Jesus was referring to when he said, "Beware the leaven of Herod." Let me give you a simple outline of what we'll be looking at this morning. First, we must get the facts, the historical facts. If we're going to understand what the leaven of Herod is, then we've got to see what Jesus means. We've got to study Herod. And there's a group also in the New Testament called Herodians. And we'll have to study the Herodians. Then after we get the facts, who's Herod, who are the Herodians, then we've got to look at the key passage on the leaven of Herod, and I believe that's Luke 23, 8 through 12. We'll close with that. We won't look at that now. And then we'll try to apply it and quench the lesson. All right, let's get the facts, the historical background. If I'm to beware the leaven of Herod, I must know who Herod is. I must know who the Herodians are. And I think that's pretty logical. And then we can see what the leaven is. The first thing that hits you as you study Herod, Jesus didn't say which Herod. He just said, "Beware the leaven of Herod." And the fact is, when you come to the New Testament, there's more than one Herod. There's more than two. There's more than three. There's more than four. A whole bunch of Herods. Herod wasn't a man's name. It was a title, a surname, family name. It was a whole family of Herods, and they were a ruling family. So in order to see what the leaven of Herod is, since Jesus didn't identify which one it was, we've got to look at all the Herods and see what they all had in common. And it's very interesting to see that. I'm going to give you a little history lesson now, but I hope it'll be interesting enough that it won't be cold and detached and boring. First of all, there was Herod the Great. Herod the Great. I think I'll write these down. In the Bible, Herod the Great. This was the Herod that enlarged and beautified the Temple of Solomon. In Jesus' day, you don't see the Temple of Solomon. You see the Temple of Herod. It's called the Temple of Herod. But this Herod the Great was a real skunk. He was quite a wicked man. Bible history doesn't have much kind to say about Herod the Great. Fact is, secular history doesn't have much kind to say about him either. Let me give you a couple of facts to show what kind of a man this was. It was Herod's policy to execute everyone he thought was against him, even if they weren't against him. If he had any suspicion whatsoever, anybody was against him, plotting against him, he was immediately killed. Of course, you can understand that led to a lot of compromise on people trying to get into the favor of Herod. There was an awful lot of bringing the apple to the teacher for Herod, because nobody wanted to be on the bad side of Herod. When Herod first came to Rome to rule, he wanted to make sure the Jewish Sanhedrin was on his side. Now remember what the Jewish Sanhedrin was. It was a group of 70 men that were allowed by the Roman government to have jurisdiction over all religious matters. It was a Jewish court. It was a high court. And there were 70 men on that Jewish court. And so in order for Herod to make sure they were on his side, he executed 68 of the 70 and then set his own men up in their place to make sure that they would be on his side. Wasn't a very democratic way to vote them in, but that's how he did it. Herod was a man who had 10 wives and 5 daughters, and he killed all of them except for one. And for political reasons, he thought it was better just to banish her rather than to have her killed. After he killed one of his wives, 2 men opposed him, and so he had them killed. This man was so proud that he ordered his mother's belly to be ripped up with a sword because he said he wanted to see the womb that brought him into this world. Man he was. One of his sons was accused of treason, and Herod said, "I want the privilege of killing him myself." And then he asked his son, "Any last words before you die?" And his son answered, "Only this, I wish I was Herod's sow rather than Herod's son." It's the kind of man he was, that's the kind of family he had. And when we come to the Bible account, we're not surprised to find that it's this Herod the Great that ordered the slaughter of all those babies in Bethlehem. Matthew 2:16 says, "And when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and slew all the male children that were in Bethlehem from 2 years old and under." This is Herod the great monster, the great madman, the great murderer. Jesus said, "Beware the leaven of Herod." See what it is yet? Another Herod mentioned in the Bible, Herod Archelaus, was the son of Herod the monster, Herod the great monster, the successor. He was a chip off the old block. He was exactly like his father, had many wives, was credited with many murders. He was finally banished himself in a political overthrow. He's only mentioned once in the Bible in Matthew 2:22. In Matthew 2:22, the Lord Jesus, or rather the angel of the Lord, came to Joseph, the human father, the Lord Jesus, in a dream, and said, "You better not go to Judea because Archelaus is ruling, and he'll kill the Lord Jesus." And so God actually intervenes in heaven with a dream and says, "Don't go there. This Herod is ruling. Wicked, wicked man." He grouped these Herods. Then there was another Herod called Antipas. I'm calling attention to this is because, you know, we just sort of read the Bible, we see the word Herod, and we say, "Oh, Herod, Herod." It's not the same one. There are many Herods in the Bible. Herod Antipas. He's probably one of the most famous Herods in all the New Testament. In Luke 13:31 through 33, let's just look at that for a moment, please. Luke 13. In this chapter, we have the one record in the Bible when the Pharisees tried to help Jesus. You know the Pharisees, they weren't too kind toward Jesus, but this time they tried to help him. In chapter 13, verse 31, "Just at that time some Pharisees came up saying to him, 'Go away and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you.'" Pharisees trying to save Jesus' life, how about that? And here's what Jesus answers. And he said to them, "Go tell that fox," what he called Herod Antipas, a fox. "Go tell that fox, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I reach my goal. Nevertheless, I must journey on today and tomorrow and the next day. It cannot be that a prophet should perish outside Jerusalem." He says, "Herod can't touch me, that fox. Go tell him I'm going to finish my work, then I'll leave. And I won't leave until then." Herod Antipas is mentioned many times in the New Testament. Sometimes he's called Herod Antipas. Sometimes he's just called Herod. Sometimes he's called Herod the Tetrarch. which just means a ruler over a province. Sometimes he's called Herod the Tetrarch of Galilee. Let me tell you the events that he's most noted for. Chapter 6, verse 20. I'm reading now. Oh, this is Mark. Mark 6:20 says, Herod was afraid of John. This is John the Baptist. Knowing that he was a holy man and a righteous man. And he kept him safe. And when he heard him, he was very perplexed. But he used to enjoy listening to him. This is the Herod that used to go to John the Baptist all the time and say, hey, tell me about the Lord. Tell me more about this one called Jesus. But Herod was a drunkard. He was a man full of lust. And he had a brother named Philip. And I might as well write his name down because he's the next Herod. A brother named Philip. And Antipas lusted after Philip's wife. And so he took that wife. And her name was Herodias. It was a Herod, but it's the feminine form. And her name was Herodias. And he lusted after and he took his brother Philip's wife. And when John the Baptist heard what was going on, John the Baptist rebuked him to his face. Well, Herodias was very angry at John the Baptist. Herod, Antipas, wasn't really excited about killing John, but he put him in prison in order to keep him safe. But Mark chapter 6 says that Herodias, the wife, was very angry at John and wanted to have him killed. She was filled with rage. Then one day, Mark 6, verses 21 through 29, where you get the story. It was Herod's birthday, and he had a great birthday party. Now, when Herodias was married to Philip, that's before Antipas stole it, she had a daughter named Salmon, or Salome, or however you pronounce it, I don't know, but had a daughter. And now that she left Philip and married Antipas, one day at his birthday party, she brought her daughter, Salome, over. And the daughter, the Bible says, danced before the king. And Antipas was so thrilled seeing her dance, and all the party was there. Chapter 6, 22 and 23, Herod says, ask for me whatever you want. I'll give it to you unto half of my kingdom. And little Salome didn't know what to ask, so she runs to mother, Herodias. You got any ideas what I can ask? I can have anything up to half the kingdom. And you know the story. Chapter 6, 25, she says, ask for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Antipas, he had no backbone, he had no spine, and he said, okay. He didn't want to lose favor with all the people because he had promised publicly, and so he went down, 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 and then, of course, he had John the Baptist killed. There's one other scene with Antipas, but that's the key verse to understanding the leaven of Herod. And so we're going to save that for the end. But do you get the idea? Look at these three so far. Herod the Great, Archelaus, Antipas. Jesus said, beware the leaven of Herod. You know what it is yet? All right, let's keep studying. The next Herod was Herod Philip, the brother of the fox. And this was his daughter, of course, that danced before Antipas. Not much is said about him. He's mentioned two times in the Bible. Luke chapter 3, verse 1, and Acts 13, 1. And all we know about him was he was the one that gave permission to persecute the Christians. And so, once again, you can see the character of the Herods. The next Herod, I think you're familiar with his name, Herod Agrippa, the first. Acts chapter 12. Let's just look at that for a moment. You see anything in common with all these Herods yet? Acts chapter 12. 1 through 3. About that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Know anything about Herod Agrippa the First? This is the Herod, wicked, wicked man. One thing I'm glad about, God records the death of this man in the Bible. And I love the way he died. I love it because it has baffled church historians. Josephus tries to describe his death. And all he does, this is a secular historian. And he says it's just a strange death. And they don't understand what really happened. The Bible tells you what really happened. Let's look at it. Chapter 12, verse 20. He was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. And with one accord they came to him, and having won over Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they were asking for peace because their country was fed by the king's country. And on an appointed day, Herod, this is Agrippa the First, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. And the people kept crying out, "The voice of a god and not of a man." And immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. You see why the secular historians have trouble with that? It happened all at once. I have a picture of him standing there and attacked by worms. I don't know how it happened. But this is how God says he died. The angel of the Lord struck him right there, and he was eaten with worms, and he died. Marvelous. The secular historians don't know how to handle that. But that's Agrippa the First. The last Herod mentioned in the Bible, and of course, this Agrippa's become famous because of Acts 25 and 26. Acts 25 and 26, it was this Herod before whom the Apostle Paul gave his great defense. Remember, he was before Herod and Bernice, or Bernice, however you pronounce it, and also Festus. And he gave his great discourse before them. I'm sorry I have to spend so much time in history, but I really feel seeing this will give you some idea of what the leaven of Herod is. Now let me show you an interesting thread that runs through these Herods. God arranged their lives that every one of them had a witness by one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. Let me illustrate for you. Look at these first two. Who are the ones who were ruling when the Lord Jesus was born? And all of the association that came with his birth, the angels and the cloud in the sky and the magi coming to them, look at the testimony they had for the Lord, and they rejected the Lord. Antipas was under the ministry of John the Baptist. Also was Philip. Just think of that. Hearing the word, not just from anybody, but John the Baptist. Agrippa the First is the one who beheaded James. He's the one that listened to Peter and arrested Peter. Look at the witness that these men had. Agrippa the Second, he's the one that Paul testified before. I'll hear you at a more convenient time. Tremendous opportunities that these men had. The Lord Jesus in his own life, himself. John the Baptist, Peter and James, the Apostle Paul himself. They all heard, and according to the record, they not only heard, but they heard by request. They desired to hear. It isn't that this was forced upon them, they just happened to live then. This Herod said, "Go search the scriptures, tell me where he's going to be born." They inquired, every one of these. And the Bible says that when John the Baptist was in prison, Antipas would go visit him in the prison. He delighted to hear John, what John had to say. Sometimes he got a little rough when he mentioned his adultery and his drunkenness and all, but he enjoyed hearing him. Acts 26:3. This was not some kind of a compliment that wasn't true. But the Apostle Paul said to Agrippa, he's speaking about Herod, but about the Herod. He said, "You Herods are experts in all the customs and questions among the Jews." Experts. And they were. All right, those were the Herods, living at probably the greatest time of history. Experts in the Word, seeking, knowing all the customs and the questions of the Jews. Fact is, they were all living up to their ancestry. The Bible calls the family of Herod Idumeans. don't recognize the word Edomian, maybe the Old Testament word would help you. Edomite. Doesn't help you. They're all descended from Esau. And like the great family tree from which they came, they're all the same kind of a man. Alright? Jesus said, beware of the leaven of Herod. What is it? Before I tell you what it is, there's another group in the Bible. There were the Pharisees, there were the Sadducees, there were the Essenes, and there was a group called Herodians. Maybe Jesus had them in mind. What are the Herodians? It's easy to study them because they're only mentioned three times in the Bible. Once in Matthew 12, verse 13. Doesn't say much about them. It says, the Herodians came with the Pharisees in order to trap Jesus, in a sentence. So know about it from that verse. Matthew 22, verse 16. The Herodians again come with the Pharisees, and they try to trip Jesus with the question about the poll tax. Of course, this is when Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's. And then in Mark chapter 3, verse 6, they appear with the Pharisees a third time. This time not to trick him, not to trap him in his words. This time, the Bible says they took counsel together on how they might slay him. So whatever the Herodians were, they didn't love the Lord Jesus. Now look at Luke chapter 20, verse 20. Though the Herodians are not mentioned by name in Luke 20, verse 20, it's the parallel account with Matthew. And so I believe that it refers to the Herodians. They watched him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous in order that they might catch him in some statement so as to deliver him up to the rule and the authority of the governor. At least you see a couple of things here. You see that they had a political interest, and you also see that they had a religious interest. They pretended to be righteous in order that they might turn him over to the government. They watched him. They sent out spies. They were religious, political. And like the Herods, they couldn't hear enough, but for the wrong reasons. They were experts, but falsely. Jesus said, beware the leaven of Herod. Beware the leaven of the Herodians. Forget about any commentary that mentioned, take Mark 8, 15, 16, where it says, beware the leaven of Herod. You look up any commentary, almost everyone will say this, beware the leaven of Herod, which is worldliness. Is the leaven of Herod worldliness? Were these men worldly? Well, there's no question about that. They certainly were worldly. The Herodians were also worldly. They had in their minds only political reasons for doing what they did. They were wicked men. One commentator said, beware the leaven of Herod, which is materialism. Is that what it is? Look at these men. Surely that was true of them. They lived for material things. They lived for the lust of the flesh, wine, women, song. That's the whole story of the Herods. That's what they lived for. They were real Esau's. Potato suggested it was compromise. Having one foot in the church and the other foot in the world. Political, religious, Herodians feigning themselves to be righteous while they really had other interests. Well, there's not much difference between the Herodians, between Herod and the Pharisees. They were just hypocrites. Jesus said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Sadducees. Beware the leaven of Herod. Jesus made a difference. What is the leaven of Herod? It's bigger than worldliness. I believe it's bigger than materialism. It includes that, but it's bigger than that. I believe it's bigger than compromise. It includes all those things. And honestly, it's hard to find a word, one word or phrase that's going to drive it all home. But let me use a word which is a very common word. I think it's little understood. But it's a very common word, and I think I can show you from Luke 23 that this is what Jesus had in mind. Word, sort of a phrase, gospel hardened.
You ever hear that?
Gospel hardened. I believe that's the leaven of the Pharisees. Gospel hardened. Beware the leaven of Herod. In Mark 8:15, where Jesus said that, the context was sign-seeking. They were out looking for signs, more information. They wanted more truth, more evidence. These Herods sought out the truth. They wanted to hear it. They loved to hear John. They loved to hear the truth. But they, of course, it never affected their own lives. They went out of the way to hear it, according to the Bible. Gospel hardened. Knowing all the words, knowing all the phrases, loving to hear the preaching, loving to hear tapes, loving to read Christian books, loving to take correspondence courses, and getting all involved, loving to debate and to discuss spiritual questions. Spurgeon describes this kind of people as those who dare to analyze the contents of the manna without eating it. Those who distill the tears of Christ without being moved to that. Analyzing the manna, distilling the tears of Christ without being moved. Curiosity, idle curiosity, wanting to know these things, not for their own hearts, not for their lives, not for their eternal destinies, but just because they're curious, just because they're interested. Unapplied truth. I can't begin to drive home to your heart or to my own heart how dangerous the leaven of Herod is, especially to those who are most accustomed to hearing the word. I think that's why Jesus mentioned this one last. Beware the leaven of Herod. Hearing it all the time, hearing new phrases and new expressions and entering into deeper truths of God, being able to debate them and say, no, that's not what faith is. This is what faith is. Being able to analyze the manna. And yet, no effect on our lives. Beware the leaven of Herod. Having all the answers, but having a dead conscience, sitting in the rain on, how terrible. Beware the leaven of Herod. Gospel heart. I ask you now to turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verses 8 through 12, I believe in principle form illustrates the leaven of Herod. Let me read it for you. These six principles of the leaven of Herod from this passage. Luke 23, 8 through 12. By the way, just for the sake of influx, the one that beheaded John the Baptist. Now Jesus stands before this Herod. 23, 8 through 12. Now Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he had been hearing about him and was hoping to see some sign performed by him. And he questioned him at some length, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes were standing there accusing him vehemently. You can understand that, because they brought him there for a trial. And this man refused to try him. He was so interested in this Jesus that he refused to try him. He was there, supposedly, to be put on trial and be condemned to death. And Herod, with his soldiers, after treating him with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. Now Herod and Pilate became friends with one another that very day, for before they had been at enmity with each other. These principles of the leaven of Herod, illustrated by this graphic story, Jesus standing before Herod. Let me try to set it in its context and then illustrate these principles. As you know, it's the trial of the Lord Jesus. He's about ready to go to the cross. He was brought from the Garden of Gethsemane to the house of Annas, where he had part of an illegal trial. From there, he was brought to the judgment hall of Pilate. It's recorded in this very chapter. Matter of fact, verse 5, it says, they kept on insisting, he stirs up people, teaching all over Judea, starting from Galilee, even as far as this place. When they said, starting from Galilee, that was a contempt. That was a mockery. You see, Galilee was a place that was held in contempt. And they were just trying to slur the Lord when they said that. Matter of fact, they knew that Pilate hated the Galileans. There's one record that Pilate went out and purposely killed many Galileans just because they were Galilean. He called them Galilean clowns. He didn't like them at all. And these Jews thought if they told Pilate that he was from Galilee, then Pilate would do something about it. But instead, when Pilate heard the word Galilee, he had a political idea. Verse 6. When Pilate heard it, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. Of course, they denied the fact that he was from Bethlehem, so they said, yeah, Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod. He realized, hey, Galilee's not under my jurisdiction. That's not my province. That belongs to Herod Antipas. And we've got a quarrel going. If Herod realizes that I'm recognizing the chain of command, if he knows I'm turning it over to him, this is not my jurisdiction. I sure don't want to step on your property. You take charge. Then Herod Antipas is going to become friends with me, Pilate. That was his reasoning. So from the garden to the house of Annas, and from the house of Annas to the hall of Pilate, and from the hall of Pilate now to the palace of Herod for this supposed trial. Jesus before the fox. Jesus, we state the principles. I believe the leaven is gospel hardened. Now let me illustrate it from this story. Chapter 23, verse 8. Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus. He had wanted to see him for a long time. Be careful of the leaven of Herod. Being very glad to see Jesus and wanting to see him for a long time might be leaven. Might be leaven. Do you see any difference between these two verses? John 20, verse 20 says, the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Luke 23, 8 says, Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus. See any difference between those two verses? The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Herod was glad when he saw Jesus. Of course, there's a difference. This is a frivolous gladness. According to verse 8, he just wanted to satisfy his curiosity. Look at it. He was hoping to see some sign performed by him. Some new sensation. The leaven of Herod, glad to see Jesus, glad to hear of his power, if I can see some sign. Herod didn't want salvation. He didn't want fellowship with God. He didn't want worship. He wanted entertainment. He wanted Jesus to perform. He wanted his curiosity satisfied. So I say, beware the leaven of Herod. Every time someone says, oh, I'm so glad to see Jesus, it may not be the kind of gladness that leads to the salvation of the soul. Some will say, I want to see a sign. I want to see a miracle. I want to see some deliverance. I want to see some spiritual wonder. I want to see God do something. That could be the leaven of Herod. All sign seekers and those who just go after deliverances and healings and go after signs and wonders, Jesus did not come to be a performer. Where the leaven of Herod? The leaven of Herod says, I'm glad to see Jesus, but not that I might fellowship with him, that I might know him, that I might enjoy him. And the second principle is in verse 8 also. He had been hearing about him. In fact, engineered the circumstances so he could hear about him. He arranged the situation. He went to every meeting. Every time he had a chance to go, he went to hear John preach. There was a time, the Bible says, when Herod Antipas' conscience was moved by the preaching of John. John used to talk to him all the time. And he said he was so glad to hear John. The Bible records that. And then later on, when he got into that silly drunken mess and it ended up when John was killed, Jesus went out doing miracles and Herod heard that someone was out there doing miracles. His conscience so bothered him, he said, it's John the Baptist come back from the dead. Come to haunt me. There was a time when Jesus was a nightmare to his conscience. A time when he was at least a little bit alive and stirring. But now you read this, and he's dead. He's gospel hardened. His conscience is absolutely numb. Look at his attitude before Christ. There's no fear at all. There's no dread. There's no awe. He's standing in the presence of the Holy One of God. And it doesn't even move him. There, the leaven of Herod. hearing so much about Him day after day after day, seeking opportunities to hear about Him, but being unaffected in His videos and listening to tapes and listening to preachers and speakers and conference speakers and reading tracts and reading books and taking special courses and attending every place the gospel's preached, but no awe in His presence. Isaiah 11 of Herod. Third illustration is in verse 9. And he questioned him at some length. I used to think that asking a lot of questions was a sign of spirituality, was a sign of spiritual hunger. He questioned him at some length. Maybe, but it also may be the leaven of Herod. Fools ask more questions in 5 minutes than wise people ask in 50 years. This connection I love, John 16, 23. Jesus was promising that the Holy Spirit would come. And He said, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life in His fullness, John 16, 20, that day, you will ask Me no questions. Those who trust in the Lord Jesus have satisfied minds. Asking questions may not be a sign of spiritual hunger. It may be a revelation of a dissatisfied mind. It may be the leaven of Herod. Herod asked many questions, but not in order to know. The Herodians were great question askers, but not in order that they might know. Not that they might satisfy their hearts and walk with God in fellowship. They just wanted to discuss it. They wanted to debate it. It was a very surface kind of thing. But let's talk about predestination. Let's talk about the sovereignty of God. What do you think about free will? What do you think about faith? What does it mean to have the lordship of Christ? How do you know Christ is King? And on, discussing all these things. Asking many, many questions. How do you read the Bible? How do you study the Bible? Long conversations about the law. Not necessarily the sign of a healthy heart. Where the leaven of Herod. Verse 9. But he answered him nothing. No revelation from God. He is the only man, as far as the record goes, in the New Testament. Finally answered Pilate. But to this man Herod, there's nobody else, the fox, he had nothing to say at all. Well, I'll tell you, the Lord's silence here is very instructive and very majestic. Because I know how Herod felt about the Lord Jesus, but I also, from the Bible, know how Jesus felt about Herod. He loved him deeply. He longed to reveal himself to him. He longed to show himself. I believe it was a painful silence. When we talk about the pain of Christ, we usually talk about the thorns and about the nail and about the sword and hanging on the cross and all. And I'm sure that inflicted pain. But I'm sure one of the great pains of the Passion of Christ was standing here before Herod. Not being able to speak. Become ready. Beware the leaven of Herod. Here's the application of it. People come to this book, Christians, after year after year after year, all their lives. They read the book. They hear the voice of the Son of God. The leaven of Herod, coming to the book, coming with questions, coming to the Bible, seeking. And yet, thought of God, never taught of the Spirit, never having a word from the Lord. And Herod, with his soldiers, after treating him with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. Gorgeous robe. It was over their mockings and their jeerings. They were hailing him. They were saying, long live the King and praises to the King. Oh, I see a great prince. The leaven of Herod. This is what Herod did. He was plenship of Christ. Crowned him King. Put a robe on him. He looked like king, but he wasn't king. Now, beware of the leaven of Herod, making your words jeers and taunts and mockings instead of really crowning him king. Many have been burned by this leaven of Herod. They've robed and crowned Christ, but they live lives that are a mockery. Luke 23:12. Now Herod and Pilate became friends with one another that very day. For before they had been at enmity with each other. Amazing thing that Jesus Christ becomes the point of union between wicked men. Always the point of union between godly men. But it was, they united over rejection of Jesus. That's how they got to be friends. The heaven of Herod unites you with the ungodly. Answer this, just think about it. Satisfied to be popular any place Jesus Christ, the leaven of Herod. Now let me just review. The leaven of Herod, gospel hardened, having all the right words, sitting under the sound of the gospel, under the greatest preachers possible, always hearing it, always listening to it, even seeking it out. And yet, oh, it sounds good. It sounded so good to read, Herod was glad to see Jesus. Doesn't that sound good? Glad to see Jesus. Hearing much. Asking many questions, but no word from God. No word from the Lord Jesus. Crowning Him as King, but really, in effect, mocking Him and scorning Him. And then joining in union against. Jesus said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. My hope for not being a hypocrite, looking to Jesus Christ alone. That's my hope for being real through and through. Jesus said, beware the leaven of the Sadducees, which is rationalism and unbelief. What's my hope? Being unbelieving. The answer is looking to the Lord Jesus. As He lives in me, He delivers me from that. What's my hope to be delivered from the leaven of Herod? Gospel hardened. Not being penetrated with the truth of God, just having it roll off me. Having all these precious things, but never being affected by them. And each Christ admonishing every man. Warning. Jesus warned us. We need to be warned. We need to be warned about being fake and unreal. Hypocrites. We need to be warned about rationalism and unbelief. We need to be warned about having been warned. We need to run to Jesus. To look to Him alone to make these things happen. To make them true. Don't try to quit any of these things. If you see the leaven in your life, don't try to pull it out. You can't. Just look to Christ. And as He lives in you, of course, it's all going to work. Any comments or questions? Father, we thank You, leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Sadducees. We want to be glad to see You in the right way. We want to hear much in the right way. We want to ask for a satisfied mind, but from a satisfied mind. We want to crown You King too. In reality, us from leaven, all of it, in all of its subtle forms.